Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
How about those Gardos last night?
I don't know if you know this. The Guardians got another win. They are now on pace for 119 or 120 wins, depending on if you round up. And as it is 119.7, I round up. So the Guardians are on pace for 120 wins. And all of a sudden, all those naysayers, you guys should let a naysayer know.
Let a naysayer know.
Because I got to tell you, all of a sudden, your boy Nicky Dubs, I was accused of flip-flopping today by the Modern Boys in another instance of the Slippery Wizard, getting just misparaphrasing the entirety of our show yesterday. Even that couldn't bring me down because the Gardo's on pace for 120 wins. Ken did I was right today, so I was right. The Guardians aren't going to stink. Bow down before my superior sports intellect. I'm being facetious there. I'm an idiot. What do you have?
You're not an idiot. What do I have?
Yeah.
For you?
Yeah, I mean, I got to know your Guardians take. Because sitting pretty.
My take?
I'm living off the Guardians are going to hit the over and they're going to contend in the Central and really have a chance to win and they're going to be a playoff team this year. I'm living on that Guardians take. I don't need to double up with another take to conflate the folks.
So my take on the Gardos is your boy won a little bit of cash last night on the Cleveland baseball team.
Nice.
Which is great.
Very good.
Good for the bank account.
Always good when things are good for the bank account.
So I was happy about that. I play tennis on Tuesday nights.
You do?
So I was going to I drive home, change real fast, go to tennis at 8 o'clock, and I'm like watching and listening to the Guardians. And the Sox took the lead with the seventh, I believe.
Somewhere.
Top of the seventh, the solo shot. And then the Guardians just came right back.
Yeah.
And just buried them.
I got them. I got when they were just piling on. Like when Jose gave you the insurance run by going oppo. That's like, I got them like in the sweet spot of once they took the lead and then to the end of the game yesterday. Because we got to watch the first hour kind of during the show yesterday. But then to see Class A locked down the doors. That was fun. And oh, by the way, I don't know if you know this. Have you heard about this? Have you seen about this?
Have you heard about this?
While we are on Gardo's watch permanently, because they're going to win 120 games. That's at least what the stats say. Don't come at me if that doesn't happen. The stats say they're on pace to win 120 games. I almost spotted them an extra win. But we got game three tomorrow, Cavs and Magic. We'll see. And then we've got night one of the NFL draft. And I will say, I don't buy anybody in town that says they're going to pay more attention to the Cavs Magic tomorrow night than they will the NFL draft.
Including myself, who's a diehard Cavs fan.
Like, I think we Cavs fans, we Cavs media, we are so confident about this series, so confident that the Magic are dookie, so confident that there's not a chance in hell that they come back and make this a series. I mean, the Morning Boys have said it's done. They've thrown in the towel on behalf of the Magic, even though they work in Cleveland. I think JP pretty much has said the same thing. Like, he thinks the series is over. That, like, I don't want to say there's a lack of buzz in the series, but all of a sudden, there is like, I don't feel like we feel the appropriate fear that you normally should fear in the playoffs because the Magic are such booty cheeks. And I think that's going to allow people to pay. Again, you can pay attention to both. I think you're going to find yourself watching more NFL draft tomorrow with all the intrigue, because about halfway through that game is when the first round of the draft comes on.
So my plan tomorrow night is to take my son out for pizza, and obviously the Bills have a pick, and he's just obsessed with the Bills. So we're going to go out and go to a little sports bar and get some pizza and watch both the Cavaliers and the draft tomorrow night. I'm excited about it.
What's little man Fox hoping for?
Wideout? He wants a wideout. Yeah, he likes the kid from Texas.
Oh, Worthy?
Not Worthy. I think he's going to go higher, but the other kid, who the people said he's got some red flags. What's his name? Is it starts with an A, right? Adonis or something?
Adonai Mitchell,
yeah.
Okay. That's interesting. I'll be honest with you. I think there's going to be three wide receivers for the Bills to choose from. Bills pick just high enough. I don't know that we're going to get six wide receivers off the board before the 20s. I think that's a bit aggressive. So I think there's going to be three or four. Thomas, the kid from LSU, I think could be there. I don't think Keon Coleman's a first-round pick, but I could be wrong on that. I think he could be there. It's a good year, and we're going to play into this as we go on. But, like, I'll be honest with you. I think there's enough in the first round. And we haven't talked a lot about the draft itself because there's not always a lot of need to talk about the Patriots and whether they're going to trade down, or Washington and whether they should trade down or take a quarterback. Minnesota and Denver, apparently the teams. I think everybody's focused on the quarterbacks in this draft. I don't think I've ever been less interested in quarterbacks in a draft.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I don't believe in any of these guys. Like, Caleb Williams is, I think, the best quarterback in this draft. But, like, I don't know. I don't know. There's something, you know, the NFL turd polishing machine that makes sure that the whole draft process, we're not allowed to talk about any of the negative, or you're being a hater. Like, you can't just look at a guy and go, the personality stuff scares the crap out of me.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you're a hater, or you're going in on a kid, which is not really what you're trying to do. You're trying to ascertain, can this guy be the face of the franchise? And Caleb Williams has so much of what I think teams look for physically in a quarterback. One, I don't really like that organization anymore. Or, like, I don't really trust that organization to do the right thing, even though they do have two top 10 picks. And two, kid, there's a lot of, like, mini red flags. There's not one thing that I say with Caleb Williams and go, that's the biggest red flag. But do I think there's, like, 10 small, like, miniature red flags that might equal one? Like, maybe we should talk more about this? Yes. Yeah. All I hear about is biomechanics with Caleb Williams. All I hear about is, well, he was dominant from Oklahoma to USC the whole time. Well, USC crapped the bed in a huge way this year. And there were some real maturity moments where skipping press conferences, the bleep Utah on his nails, like, just questionable things that, like, if you're going to take a guy at one, and this is, and in hindsight, this is what makes the Baker thing look even more, like, befuddling. There were many red flags with Baker. There were. Just in terms of the planting the flag at Ohio, the crotch grabbing on the sideline, like, the fact that he could not help himself and he had to be a headline, like, those are things that absolutely do matter to NFL teams. And though it doesn't look the exact same way with Caleb Williams, they're there. And by the way, he's the guy I'm most confident will be a good quarterback. Like, Drake May, no idea. Just no idea. That offense does not translate to the NFL. Jaden Daniels, okay, sure. You're gonna build around him in the right way? Are you going to accentuate both his passing? I said accentuate is what I meant to say, not accentuate. Are you going to accentuate his ability to throw and run? Because if you're just going to make him a passer, you're probably going to limit some of his real value as a playmaker. But that's before we get to J.J. McCarthy. That's before we get to Bo Nix or any of these other dudes. I just have never been more. I've never been less enthused.
It's wild. There's not one quarterback in this draft that I look at and say that this is going to be a bona fide Hall of Fame quarterback. I just don't see it. It could happen for sure, We've seen it before. I just don't see it. I mean, I'm looking at mock drafts. You got four quarterbacks going in the top five.
I mean, people are talking, and I think some of this is just draft smoke. People are talking about Michael Penix Jr. sliding up into the first round. No. Like, so for me, do I think Michael Penix Jr. might have a chance to be a decent quarterback? Yeah. Like, look at what he's overcome. Right? Look at the success. And I think his, like, he was the reason Washington was where they were. And I think when you can say that about a quarterback, I think that, like, when a quarterback is elevating a good program to national standards, I don't think you can sleep on that. At the same point, he's not a first-round pick. Bo Nix. Bo Nix reminds me of Derek Carr coming out. I'm not talking about the physical comp. I'm talking about a guy with a buttload of experience, a guy who's short on measurables. But, man, if you just give this guy a chance, he might be a 10-year starter in the NFL if you can just – you just get him in there and just find the right opportunity. And more importantly, don't, I want to say don't rush the guy, but don't expect too much from the guy. You take him with pick 32, it's different than if you take him with pick 33, the first pick of the second round. So that's the other part of this. Like if you said Drake May is a second round pick, all right, I'll drink that Kool-Aid. You want to say J.J. McCarthy is like a second or third round pick, I'll drink that Kool-Aid. You want to say top five pick, top 10 pick for J.J. McCarthy? And basically, the only reason anyone's saying this, there are two reasons. Leadership, and he played in a pro-style offense. Doesn't matter if he played well in it.
Yeah, you know, Harbaugh's going out of his way right now and hyping the crap out of J.J. McCarthy. Best pro day I've ever seen, the best quarterback at Michigan to ever play, all these things. And yet, he ain't getting rid of Justin Herbert out in Los Angeles.
Yeah, so we recorded the latest Sons of the Shoe today. And Spencer was like, yeah, if Jim really wants to, Spencer was saying, like, basically trying to turn it on Harbaugh and say, yeah, if you really believe in J.J. McCarthy, you should trade Justin Herbert and draft J.J. McCarthy at five. And I was like, you just went full Tannenbaum. You never go full Tannenbaum.
Never go full Tannenbaum.
But as much as we've talked about the quarterbacks, do you know what most interests me in this class? Right at the top, it's wide receivers.
You've got several. Obviously, Marvin Harrison Jr. will be the number one wide receiver off the board. In fact, this one mock draft sees him going to Arizona, which would be sick in that offense.
I don't know if Harbaugh is going to draft him at five, but I think if Marvin goes to Kyler at four, I think it's the kind of thing that can elevate Kyler. I think if Marvin goes to Justin Herbert, Justin Herbert might actually be able to win a damn playoff game. 216-474-0092. So as we get you ready for the rest of this gigantic week in sports, Cavs, Magic, Game 3, the NFL Draft, Night 1 tomorrow, Round 1, what are you going to be paying more attention to tomorrow night? Is it about the draft or is it about the Cavs, Magic, Game 3? Mark Schlereth, Odyssey NFL Insider, he's been with us on the lead-up to the draft since going back to February. And he was on with us yesterday. And we got into this conversation about multiple people have now turned the tide and said the Browns shouldn't, ever since the Jerry Jeudy trade, they shouldn't draft a wide receiver at 54. We asked Stink that, and here's what he had to say.
I look at the wide receiver position, and I know we've been duped into believing that wide receivers are the reason football teams win. And it has, you know, to me, it has very little to do with it. In an organization or in a league that is a dependent league, you know, 10 guys have to do their job exceptionally well for a wide receiver to sniff a football. And so I don't understand why we've put so much value on the position other than, I mean, I understand that, you know, the league is about throwing the football and all the rules are bent toward throwing the football. But I'm a big line of scrimmage guy, obviously. Offensive lines, defensive lines, run the football, do those things to take the pressure off your quarterback, to take the pressure off the passing game. And the last guy to win a Super Bowl that led the league in receiving, that led the league in yardage, that led the league in, you know, touchdowns, whatever, was Cooper Kupp. The guy who did it before that was in 1988, it was Jerry Rice. So, you know, we sit there and make a big deal out of, you know, the wide receiver position, and I frankly think it's a bit overvalued. And we've seen, you know, what happened in Kansas City. They've won back-to-back Super Bowls, and they've gotten decimated in their wide receiver room. Guess what? They've got a quarterback that can make it happen. They adjusted with their tight end in the middle of the football field. They ran the ball a lot better, and they still were able to win a championship with no wide receiver other than Rashee Rice really making many plays for them.
So I have my own thoughts on what he said, as in kind of extrapolating that for the Browns at 54. What did you think of his take on the idea of drafting a wide receiver with the 54th pick, your first pick this year?
Makes a lot of sense. You know, you bring up the Cooper Cups. I mean, he brings up Jerry Rice. Obviously, that's a long time ago. But, you know, I do think that you can find receivers that can be awesome in the later rounds. You know, the problem is, you know, for the Browns, the last couple of picks you've taken at wide receiver have been mid-round picks. You know, David Bell was a third-round pick. You got Tillman was a third-round pick last year. And is there another one?
Did you say David Bell?
David Bell, yeah.
Anthony Schwartz, third-rounder.
So, I mean, they haven't had great success taking receivers in the middle. Great success.
I heard it. And I just started smirking.
You gave me the salt and vinegar eyes on that one. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see. But, I mean, I get where he's coming from. But I do think that you still can get better talent, per se, in the first and second round. But you still don't know. Like, Cooper Kupp was a second-round pick, right?
I actually think he was a third-round pick. I could be wrong on that.
Want to bet a burger?
No, I will not bet a burger on that unless I win.
I thought it was like in the 50s.
Tell me next. Third-round pick. You owe me a burger.
You didn't bet.
You offered it up, and I said, not unless I'm right, at which point I said I was right. That was basically a committal to the bet.
You're a basic B.
I am a basic B. Here's the thing. I think Mark is spot on with roster building. Like, The Browns have done a good job, in my opinion, of throwing a lot of assets at the wide receiver spot without overspending. Meaning, yeah, they haven't spent one first rounder on one wide receiver, but they've spent multiple third rounders, I think a fifth rounder, a sixth rounder. And even though those haven't hit, you only really need one to hit to get your money's worth. So, like, I don't have a problem with the flaw. I mean, even their top three receivers, Amari Cooper, pick swap. Jerry Jeudy, you got for basically a pick swap. Elijah Moore, you got for a pick swap. Like, that is a very conservative way of attacking the wide receiver room. There's only one reason, though, I would take a wide receiver at 54.
And
that is if you don't think Elijah Moore or Amari Cooper are going to be here next year. Because I know I hate to use the 54th pick on a future need, but, like, I'll be honest with you, your wide receiver room is set today. It's not math is hard, 9 months from now. If you know, hey, we just don't think it's prudent to re-sign Amari, we're going to let him play out his contract and we'll talk, you know, he's going to go into free agency and we got to replace him. And if you're at any way skeptical that you're going to re-sign Elijah, that's where it makes sense. And people will still say, well, then spend a third rounder, spend a fourth rounder. Well, at that point, that becomes probably your most pressing need if you think Amari Cooper and Elijah Moore aren't going to be here. That being said, I don't feel they need to. If the right guy, and listen, there's so many good wide receivers in this class, the right guy could fall. You know, Xavier Worthy out of Texas is a guy that people have said could be a top 20 pick. It's a guy that said could fall into the mid-40s.
The problem is, you know how this thing goes, man. Like, in the draft, I'm pretty sure he's the fastest wide receiver in this draft. Like, by far. Well, maybe not by far, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I think people will draft the speed. You got Adunze, too, who's a high pick. Marvin Harrison. You got the other kid from LSU. What is
Neighbors.
It? Malik Neighbors. There's another kid from LSU, too, right? They have two receivers that are going to be
Brian Thomas Jr.
Brian Thomas Jr. I mean, there's a ton of receivers, but you never know. Because if those quarterbacks happen to go off the board early, who knows? I mean, maybe somebody trades into the first round for, you said maybe Michael Penix is a late first round pick. Who knows?
Well, like a guy like Troy Franklin. That's a dude that might get first round consideration in any draft that doesn't have, what is that, 8 guys listed as top 32 prospects. Troy Franklin's a guy that's like 6'3 and is like a track star. That's the kind of thing. But even then, like, I guess my point is, like, I don't have a definitive, the Browns need to do ... or I'll be mad. But it really, there's a big part of this is just like, how does the board look? And also, what else do you do? Like, I don't think they're going to trade Greg Newsome, but that I think the best chance that it could happen is in between day one and day two. Because if you get through the first 32 picks and somebody with a top 10 pick in the second round says, well, all the interesting corners that I was going to take a run at are off the board. I don't want to force the pick. I'd rather use this pick to go get Greg Newsome. That's the way I think Greg Newsome gets traded.
So you think it could happen?
Yes. But I don't.
Would it make you happy?
No, because I see the risk. And so, like, when we've talked about it, I've said, well, hey, if you can get value for him, you should do it. I still see the risk. Like, I would do it for a second-round pick and maybe a second and a fourth or something like that. I don't know he's going to get that value, but I would do it. I'd still be pretty nervous that he goes somewhere, or more importantly, that it dings your depth enough in the secondary that maybe a Cam Mitchell isn't ready, or maybe Khalif Halasi isn't ready to kind of be that, you know, the next man up if Denzel gets hurt or if MJ gets hurt. So, like, but I would do it mostly because I think wide receiver is a spot. Maybe Andrew doesn't want to cut his own players. I don't think you can ever take enough high stabs at getting a guy who could be the guy for the next decade. And that guy might fall to you in this year's draft. I think you really need to start considering the future of your offensive line, including left tackle, both guard spots, and maybe even center, given that Posick is, you know, it has played really well, but these last 2 years have been his best years in the NFL. Who knows if he's going to continue that? He's also getting a little older. Defensive line. I'll never be mad if the right edge rusher falls to them and they take him at 54. I'll never be mad if it's a Michael Hall Jr. Or if who's the kid they like out of LSU? Mason Smith. So, like, I would, because I don't think you're going to re-sign Greg. I'd be surprised if that happens at this point. But to how they address it, I don't know I can be that picky. Because I think this is one of the rare times. I think the Browns are in, like, the best possible scenario. You don't have to fill a today's hole in the draft. You don't have to do that. You can say, well, this wide receiver might not start today, but we think next year he'll be maybe our best player. Or you know what? We got first-round value on this position that everyone's going to look at and say, you don't really need that. I mean, even linebacker. Like, would you trade Greg Newsome for the best linebacker in this draft? A off-ball linebacker, not like an edge rusher.
Yeah, I probably would.
So, like, that's another spot. I think if you – and by the way, if we had to say – the most pressing spot of need, it probably would be a linebacker who can give you serious reps this year, right?
Yes.
Because they got Jordan Hicks, who is, I think Jordan Hicks is a better football player than Anthony Walker Jr. is. But, like, you look to, it's JOK, it's Jordan Hicks, and, like, Taki Taki's gone. Jacob Phillips just signed with the Texans. You still got Tony Fields and Diabate, but, like, you could use another significant linebacker in the room. 216.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
474-0092. So Mark Schlereth was on here agreeing with Solomon Wilcots that the Cleveland Browns should not take a wide receiver at 54. And because I think I've been all over the board in this segment on it. I agree unless it's an absolute home run. Right? Unless it's a guy that for whatever reason is pushed down the draft board and you just can't say no. But it's got to be coupled with the fact if you're planning on having Elijah, Jerry Jeudy, Amari Cooper, and Cedric Tillman all here next year, you're starting to get to a point where you have so many resources in that room that, like, you might literally need two new starting guards next year. You might literally need another starting defensive tackle next year, given the fact you're piecemealing that spot beyond Dalvin Tomlinson. Jordan Hicks is 34. You might need a starting linebacker next year. So I'm okay with it to some degree, but it is in the rare degree. Gardo's game two against the Bo Sox, 6:10 tonight. Do you like the 6 p.m.? First pitches there?
Only because the games end earlier.
So the only thing that maybe I don't love about it is we don't get off air until 7. So, like, selfishly, I would prefer to be able to go watch first pitch. But I will say...
Are you going to the games?
I like to go to the games.
I mean, have you been going?
I have not yet, but I will traditionally go once the weather turns a little bit here. So... Yeah, I mean, I'm on the fence about it. Although I will tell you, a lot of my friends with kids have said that means I go to more games because of the fact that you said that you get out a little bit earlier. But the Gardos are red hot. Let's see if they can take the second in a row from the Red Sox. They got a winning streak going. They're 17-6, first place in the AL Central, and this 17-6 start has happened about 4 times. In Guardians history, or in Cleveland baseball history, to talk about all of it, we head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline and welcome on Guardians super utility player, David Fry. David, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you. We were just talking about the 6:10 first starts. I work till 7, so I'm a little on the fence about them, but I just, as a player, does that hour difference do much different for you in terms of how you prepare for games?
I would say from the playing side, not really. We kind of get to the field similar time, same routine before the game. After, for me, for now having a 6-month-old daughter, I don't mind getting home an hour earlier and maybe seeing her before she goes to bed.
So does it also allow you, since you do have a – by the way, congratulations on your 6-month-old daughter, girl dad over here. I got 3 of them. but does it allow you to get 1 hour extra of sleep when it's a 6:10 first pitch then?
Yes, which is massive, especially when you have a 6-month-old daughter, and every minute of sleep helps.
David, let's talk about the season and the start to the year. Has this fast start surprised you guys at all? Surprised you?
No, I don't think it's any surprised anybody in our clubhouse. Maybe on the outside, I think we're super confident group and just a really like close knit group. It's been a really fun start. Obviously, winning makes everything a little better, but. It's just a really fun group to come to the field every day. And I think we all had like super high expectations coming in. We expect it to continue.
So with that, what do you think is behind this? Cause like, listen, I thought you guys are going to be good. Like I predicted you to have a chance at winning the division and making a playoff run. And I'm very bullish on the pitchers you have and the bullpen and everything. But like, 17-6 is not what I expected, just candidly. I'm just curious, like, what do you guys think, where do you attribute this fast start to?
I think it's a little bit of everything. Obviously, you said the bullpen. I mean, they've been unbelievable. It just seems like any time there's a big situation, those guys come in and get the outs that we need to keep runners from scoring. I think especially lately, starting pitching has been really, really good, getting deeper into games to kind of, like, save that bullpen a little bit, which will be huge down the stretch. And then our offense has been like, obviously we've really been known as the team that makes a lot of contact, runs the bases really well, which we still do. But you kind of seen throughout our lineup, there's more of a power element. more doubles, more homers, which I think puts a little more fear into those pitchers. It's like, oh, these guys are going to make a lot of contact. Yeah, we're going to make contact. But we're also, if you get behind in the count, we're going to drive the ball. And I think that's really helped our offense this year.
What's the biggest difference between Tito and David Vogt? Or, yeah,
Stephen Vogt.
I don't know why I said David Vogt.
But
we're
definitely
we're talking to David Fry.
Tell us the difference between Tito and David Vogt as well.
Excuse me, David.
Yeah, I mean, definitely different. I mean, especially for me, it was different because last year was my first year as a big leaguer. And with that, you know, you're like, you're nervous to go talk to anybody. So I'm just kind of like sitting in my chair, like making sure I'm staying out of everybody's way and making sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And then as I get more comfortable here, then you get Vogt, younger guy, just got done playing. He wants to be one of the boys. And definitely a lot easier from our side, from my side, getting more comfortable in the big leagues to kind of approach them. But they're both awesome. Tito was so great in giving me opportunities to play. And even when I struggled at times, and then Vogt's done an amazing job of communicating with me and giving me opportunities to play as well.
So I know you kind of mentioned that. I'm kind of interested about what you were just saying about Tito, because he is the most disarming human being on the planet. Second maybe only to Stephen Vogt. But what was it about that kind of getting comfortable? Was it just the fact that you knew the story of Tito and the success he had had as a big league manager?
Yeah, I think that, and just, I mean, Tito was just so cool, and so many stories I had from last year where he would talk to me. Remember when I first got called up, I wasn't playing a whole lot, and dude had massive hands, and he just like put his hands around my neck, and he was the back of my neck, and he was like, I'm going to get you in there, I promise, man. And I was just like, yeah, please don't hurt me. He was such a nice guy, though. And as I got more comfortable, easier to talk to, and he did so much for me. And then Vogt's just like, he's such a chill guy and has your back and really easy to talk to.
David Fry, Guardians player on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So obviously want to get to your story, which is an awesome story. And I don't mean that in like a talk down way. I mean, like, you are kind of one of the styles of ball player that people fall in love with, because you just keep going and you just keep succeeding, and it just kind of doesn't matter what goes in front of you. But, you know, you talked about more home runs, more doubles this year, and that has really changed the way that you guys are getting pitched to and makes you more dangerous. Is that a philosophical change organizationally, or maybe was last year kind of just the weird wonky year that the offense just never got going?
I think maybe a little bit of both, but there was definitely a lot more conversation this spring of, hey, like our identity as an offense, who we're going to be. And it was mainly player led, you know, like Nails, Hedges, Kwan, those guys kind of like, hey, this is who we're going to be in as an offense. Obviously we're going to move the ball, and we're going to put pressure on defenses. Like, we have to make an adjustment and make these pitchers fear us when we get in the box of, hey, if we make a mistake, this is going to be a 3-run homer. And when we have that, and then have the contact kind of in our back pocket of, all right, we get down to 2 strikes. All right, now we're going to put it in play. I think it's made us much more dangerous, and it's definitely been a concerted effort as a group, like talking with between hitting coaches, and then all the players as well, like throughout the game, say, this is our plan against this pitcher. Let's go execute and drive the ball.
Dave, do you like the term super utility player with super emphasized?
Yeah, we added super in there.
We emphasized it, yeah.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I feel like last year it was always utility player, and then when I pitched, I became super utility.
That's awesome. Which position do you feel most comfortable with?
I would say this year is catcher. That was one thing when Vogt got hired, he kind of called me and in the off season was like, hey, I know you play all over the place, but I really want you to just focus on catching and coming ready for that. Cause you know, there's a lot of demanding stuff with playing the catching position. And kind of, if you can focus on that and have that down, then he was like, you can move around first, left, third, wherever you need to go. And so being able to like work with the pitchers all spring and not have to worry about bouncing around, I was able to get really comfortable with those guys and being behind the plate. And especially in situations where I happen to, like, kind of like last night, pinch it and then go catch the eighth and ninth with our two big dogs late in the game, like getting just being comfortable catching those guys in big situations.
So you mentioned, you know, being able to settle a little bit more in catching. I know you played a little bit of first base as well. Here's the outfield here and there. Last year, I think there was some talk about Gabe Arias and how maybe that lack of a defined position might have it took him a moment to kind of adjust and get comfortable with that. Do you feel the opposite, or do you feel like if you had a chance to lock in on one position, it might help you unlock a little bit more and get a little more comfortable?
I feel like it's just kind of been identified as my role, and I've just kind of embraced it. And yeah, maybe if one position would be able to focus on that more, but I mean, we have such a good staff that, like, working with Sandy on catching and Albie on catching, and then going with the infield with Kai and Rugi, and then going to the outfield with JT, they all do such a good job of making sure I'm prepared no matter where I go, that it kind of makes it a lot easier that, hey, one day you're going to be here, one day you're going to be there, and be ready to go.
David, when you're not at the ballpark, what do you do to relax, to enjoy yourself?
A lot of time spending with family, just kind of hanging out, and then a lot of golf.
How's the golf game going?
We have to ask your handicap.
So handicap is probably turning around like a index would probably be like 6.5, 7.
Okay, so you're a player.
I would say Gattis probably has the lowest on the team, but I like to say that just about every time we play, I beat him. So I want that on record.
You guys have a favorite course to play around town?
There's
a lot of great tracks here in Northeast Ohio,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, there are. I mean, last year we got to play Firestone, which was pretty incredible. That was a really cool experience. The guys played Little Mountain the other day. That's a good one that we went to quite a bit last year. There's a bunch of really good ones, and especially on our off days, kind of usually fall on Mondays. There's not a whole lot of courses that are two-pack, so we can kind of go anywhere. And there's just a bunch of really good courses around here.
David, I've tried to get the nickname the Contact King going for you, because I just feel like every time you're up, you get something going. It's not working at all. I just want to know if you can lend support to your own nickname that I've given you. And again, the only payment I would want for this is credit every time somebody refers to you as the Contact King. Can we make this happen?
Yeah, that's fair. I'll be sure to give you the credit. No problem. I don't know if the boys in the clubhouse are going to keep it going, but I'll do my best.
Yeah, we just got, if we get Naylor to agree to either Naylor to agree to it, I think it'll go the way we want to. Well, again, man, congrats on your start to the season. At one point, you were hitting something like 400, and it was ridiculous, and it was awesome. But you're still killing it, man. Love to watch your story and watch you kind of evolve here. And congrats again on that 6-month-old baby girl, man. That's the best thing to hear in the world, man.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
David Fry, Guardian Super Utility Man on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I knew he was good at golf when he started to give you like different versions of his handicap. Like, that's really like when people really can bestow different. In this environment, I'm this handicap, and on this, I'm bad at golf. When people ask me my handicap, I'm like, it's not even worth talking about. I do like the fact that he admitted Hunter Gattis is better.
Okay. Why do you like that?
I think it showed some humility. But he also admitted he does beat him when he goes one-on-one with him.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.